And it reads, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, "You must be born again." The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit.' 'How can this be?' Nicodemus asked. 'You are Israel's teacher,' Jesus said, 'and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?'" If you could return with me to verse 3, the powerful words of our Lord. "I tell you the truth," he says, "no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Mm-hmm. Sisters and brothers, Jesus is telling us today how to change. How to change. If you could pray with me. God, we come before your word in need. We come before your word expectant. We come before your word and your presence, God, with our real lives on display for you. We bring it all to the altar. We are so grateful that you are mindful of us. So grateful that you talk to us in the midst of the things that we're going through. So grateful that you know us and we trust, we know, we can sense, we feel that your spirit is a powerful thing, God. And that in these moments, you can use whatever you need to use to speak to us. So God, I pray that whoever you brought into this sanctuary today, whoever you sent on purpose to hear from you, that our ears might be open, that our hearts might be open to receive the word that you have. God, I pray that you get me out of the way and that your word might work its power, not because of the messenger, but because of your powerful message. And that we might be able to receive what you, the living God, is trying to tell us to get us ready for this next year. We love you and we praise you. We need you so much we can't even put words to it. We are so glad to be your children. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen? Amen. How to change. I want to start with a premise this morning, and the premise is this: you need to change. Now, please don't get offended. I'm not saying that about you because of any observation I have made of you. It's no judgment in your direction to say that you need to change. The thing is that most of us need to change. Most of us, many of us even want to change. It's a part of the human condition. Many of us walk around needing to change. How do I know? Well, here we are at New Year's, and this is what New Year's resolutions are all about. I don't know what your resolutions are. I'm not sure how many you have. I'm not sure if you're good at keeping them. And I don't know what they are, but I do know this. They are probably not about staying exactly the way you are. I don't know what they are, but I can tell you what they're not. They're probably not keep the exact same habits that have manifested in certain characteristics of your life that you may not like. They're probably not keep thinking in the exact same ways. You feel the exact same way when you wake up in the morning. I don't know what your resolutions are, but I can tell you that they are probably not stay exactly the way that you are, because most of us, something in us or in our psyches that we need to change. In this passage before us today, Jesus comes to talk to us about change. You know, it's interesting. Jesus is not only interested in talking to us about the theological concepts that we may encounter. Jesus is not only interested in talking to us about the loftier ideas of the cosmos and God's place in them. No, Jesus is also interested in talking to us about us. Let me rephrase that in case it lands a little differently. Jesus is also interested in talking to you about you. But interestingly enough, even though Jesus is interested in talking to you about you, Jesus is not interested in the surface level things that we sometimes want to talk about. When Jesus comes to change us, Jesus is not really talking just about those superficial resolutions. Jesus is not that concerned about your resolution to lose 5 pounds. Though he wants you to take care of your body, which is a temple, Jesus is not that concerned with your hard and fast resolution to never eat refined sugar again, or your decision that you will promise yourself you will spend more time with human beings this year than you do with Netflix. Jesus is not that concerned about those superficial resolutions. Why? Because you can handle your resolution to lose 5 pounds on your own. Jesus doesn't want to help you with those things that you can handle. That is something you can take care of. No, Jesus wants to talk to you about the deeper things. Somebody say deeper things. Jesus wants to talk to you about those deeper changes that you can't seem to handle by yourself. Those changes that you need, those places in your spirit that still have a growing edge, still have some rough spots around them, those things that you wish you could change, but they feel like boulders in your soul that you just keep pushing and pushing, but every day it's still there, or they feel like that rock that Sisyphus is trying to push uphill. Maybe you make a little progress only to find that the next day the rock is coming back at you. They feel like those things that when you look back over the landscape of your years, and you look back over the scenery of all the years that have passed, there's some things that are still in the scenery that have been there for so long, you start to believe they're just part of who you are. That they won't go anywhere. That you might not ever change. These are the things that Jesus wants to talk to us about. Somebody say he wants to talk to you about the deeper things. Just deeper things. You don't have to say the whole sentence. Just deeper things. He wants to talk to us about the deeper stuff. When we meet Nicodemus today, he's talking to Jesus about a lot of things. But Jesus turns back and talks to him about change. When we meet Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus and he talks to him about theological concepts, lofty things. It's actually a theological controversy that he brings Jesus into. He's talking like an expert of the law that he is. He brings this lofty idea to Jesus, but Jesus turns around and talks to him about him and about the need for change. Nicodemus says to Jesus, "Teacher, we know you have come from God." You know, this was a big controversy among the Jewish leaders at the time. Was Jesus from God, or was he not sent from God? And Nicodemus comes to bring up this controversy, to start a debate with him, and he says, "We know you have come from God because of the signs you perform." He's chatting him up about the latest theological controversy. But you don't go against the rules of your group. You don't sneak around at night to come talk to someone for whom to you it is forbidden to talk to. You don't do all that because you want to talk about a theological debate. See, Nicodemus, as you see from the text, he was a Pharisee. Somebody say Pharisee. Pharisee, and Pharisees were not fans of Jesus. The Pharisees, as many of you Bible scholars know, the Pharisees were people who, they were Jewish leaders, and they were very into the rules and regulations. They didn't like Jesus because Jesus came and said, "You can talk to God by yourself. You don't need all the rules and regulations." And this encroached on their power over the people. This messed up the way that they were relating to the people when Jesus said, no, it's not about the rules or regulations, it's about our living God. So the Pharisees were not fans of Jesus, and Nicodemus was a leader among the Pharisees. He wasn't supposed to go talk to him. He wasn't supposed to be on good terms, but there was something in him that needed something that Jesus had. Something in him that sensed that there was some hole in his spirit, some place in his soul that still needed what this man from Nazareth seemed to be offering everyone, that still needed what seemed to the changes that seemed to take place in every life that this man touched. There's something in him that pushed him that said, "It's not allowed. I got to go at night. They're not going to like it, but I need something from that man Jesus who seems to change people's lives. In whose wake there seems to be new life and new possibility. I need something from him." So he comes. He contradicts the wishes of his group, and he goes to Jesus to talk to him at night. But when he got there, just like some of us. When he gets to Jesus, he goes to all this trouble to bring his real self to Jesus. When he gets there in the middle of the night, he says to Jesus, I want to talk to you, but what does he do? He brings up surface level stuff. Whew. Don't we do that? There are things that we deeply need, but when we get to church, we talk about how cute her sweater is. We talk about how stressed we are at work. We talk about the weather. We talk about anything else than the things we deeply need. We talk about everything, but what's really going on in our spirits, our souls are longing for the changes that we know that only the voice of God can speak over them, but we get into the presence of the Most High. And we talk about everything else. Somebody say he wants to talk about the deeper stuff. Just the last part again. There we go. He wants to talk about the deeper stuff. Nicodemus is like many of us because his need for change is not the dramatic type. He's like many of us, like some of us in here today, because his need for change is not the dramatic type. He's not falling apart on the outside. The things that need to change in him are not visible to the outside observer. His life is not crumbling around him. His meltdowns are not embarrassing his friends when they try to spend time together. There's nothing that's falling apart visibly about him. His need for change is not the dramatic type. He's actually kind of put together on the outside. He's even got a little title and a little position. Right? John tells us that he is a leader of the Jews, of the Jewish council. There's evidence that suggests that this council he's talking about is the Sanhedrin. Somebody say Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin was like the Supreme Court. There were only 70 people. Well, we don't have 70 people in our Supreme Court. There's 70 people in all of Israel, one of the top 70 leaders. This man had a position. Somebody say position. His life looked okay from the outside. He was not falling apart from the outside. Like many of us, because the change he needed was not the type you could see if you just looked at him. So he comes to Jesus, put together, with his position. Probably had a little bit of money. They say that when Jesus died, he brought expensive spices. So we get the impression that Nicodemus is not only with position, with title, with success, a journey that looks ordered and that it makes sense. Nobody had, he had some things that he needed. He was provided for. Nicodemus was not falling apart on the outside, but the changes that he needed, ooh, they were on the inside. Some of us can relate to that on the outside we look okay, but ooh, the things we don't want to bring up on the inside. Looking like our journeys are smooth, but there's a journey on the inside that we still need steps. There's still steps we need to take. But Nicodemus, he didn't bring up these things. He came to Jesus in the middle of the night when he wasn't supposed to, and he brought up theological concepts. He looks good on the outside, and he says, Jesus, I got a debate I want to get your opinion on. What do you think about this? But Jesus cuts through all of that. Jesus is so incredible. He's so amazing. He knows how to respond to even what you don't say. Have you ever noticed that in your life you can bring up everything else to Jesus, but somehow the Spirit of God cuts through to what you really want to talk about? This is what happens with Nicodemus today. He doesn't bring up what's really on his mind. He brings up an intellectual, cerebral debate, and he doesn't look like he needs all this help on the outside. He looks put together on the outside. His hair is done on the outside. His nails match his shirt on the outside. His title is looking good. He's been at the same job for a minute on the outside. He's looking fine on the outside, but on the inside. And this is what Jesus talks to him about. Nicodemus says to him, hey, let's talk about this theological debate. Are you from God? I think you are. My people don't, but I think you are. What do you think, Jesus? Let's get into it. And Jesus says, look, I know what you really came for. I know you don't sneak around in the middle of the night to go speak to someone you're not supposed to speak to because you are curious about a theological debate. Look, I know that there's some things in you that you are needing to change. I know what you came to talk about. I know that things aren't perfect on the inside the way they may look on the. I know what's going on inside of you. Jesus knows what's going on inside of you. And he says to Nicodemus, I have a secret for you. Everyone who enters the kingdom of God, everyone who plunges into this walk with me, everyone who enters into this life I'm offering, everyone who enters in can be born again. You, yes, you, Nicodemus, can change. You, yes, you can change. And Nicodemus, just like us, what does he do? He comes all this way to talk to Jesus about what's going on in his soul. He doesn't have the tools to bring it up in the out in the open. He looks good on the outside, but on the inside, there are things that still need divine attention. And here he is at the feet of the one who can tell people to get up and walk who haven't walked in decades, and it happens. At the feet of the one who can wipe away everything. At the feet of the one who can make all things new. And Jesus says, it can be done. And Nicodemus, he doesn't say, all right, say it slower so I can write it down. All right, tell me step one, I'll start tonight. He doesn't rejoice and say, okay, I'll get going. I'm so excited. He doesn't do any of that. What does he do? He resists. He resists the change. Now, we have to talk about this because we can't talk about how to change, how you can change, unless we talk about your resistance to change. Because that is the portion in the cup of so many of us who know that God is still working on us. It's not that God is taking God's time. It's not that God is being slow. It's not that the circumstances are not allowing it. It's not that the devil has us bound. No, it's our own resistance. It's our own reason. This is what we see when we look at Nicodemus. Here he enters into this moment with the divine, and the divine is telling him, I can do it. I can make you new. You can be born again. But Nicodemus says, wait. I don't know if I can do it. This is the crux of his problem. His resistance is he doesn't know. He's not sure it's possible. Oh, he says, how, Jesus, how can this be? This would be like me, a grown man, after so long being the way I am, climbing back into my mother's womb and trying to be born again. How, Jesus, this sounds impossible to me. How, I don't think it's possible. How, I don't think I can change. How, I don't think this new life that you talk about, yes, I see it. Yes, I see it in other people, but for me, I just don't believe. I mean, I want to, but I just can't when I think about it. How could this be? We are the same way. We want change. We make resolutions at the beginning of every year. We decide I'm going to be different. And we're not mostly concerned about the superficial things, but for many of us, there is something deep that we wish were different about our experience on this earth, about the way that we are. Something more, a little bit trickier. Not those little things that you read half a self-help book and you're good. Not those little things that you can laugh about with your friends. No, the deeper stuff. Ah, but deep down, we doubt. We're not sure. Jesus tells us, but we don't know if it can be. Because we've been there for so long. Because it's been that way for so long. Because we don't even have the tools to approach it, much less to change it. And so we with Nicodemus, we look back at Jesus who was announcing to us a new life, announcing to us a new way to be, announcing to us a fresh start, announcing that we can start over, that we can be born again. And we look back to Jesus, and instead of saying, tell it to me again, Jesus, give me step one so I can write it down. Instead of rejoicing in the face of the one who makes all things new, instead of doing that, what do? We say, Jesus, I don't believe you. I don't think that I can change. Depression has been my lot for so long that I just think depression is my nature. Dysfunctional relationships have been the way that I've always done things, so I just believe that that's my nature. My family has been this way for so long. I don't believe that I can change it. This is just the way I am. We don't believe it either. But into Nicodemus's resistance, into his cynicism and his expectations that things would stay the same, into this moment in which he comes and he's longing and he wants it, but he can't quite say yes to it. Into this cynicism comes the holy voice of Jesus saying, very truly, I tell you, anyone who enters into this kingdom can be born again. Very truly, I tell you, it can be done with the power of the Most High. You can start over. You, yes, you, Nicodemus, yes, you really can be so new that the only way to describe it is that you have been born as though you were born for the first time. Yes, you, it can be done. Yes, you can start over. Some of us need to hear that today because we often get to the point where we think our stories are the worst stories. That our difficulties, the places that still need divine attention, are the most difficult. We think whatever reset button God has offered doesn't apply to us. Because our stories are so bad. We've sunk so low. But Jesus says, no, everyone who enters the kingdom can be born again, can start anew. This is what Jesus was telling us when he cast out the legion of demons. The entire legion of them, he cast them out of that man because he said, there is no demon in hell that is stronger than our Savior. No, I will cast it out. And that man was made new. This is what Jesus meant when he said to the woman who had been suffering with her issue for 12 years. Somebody say 12 years. She thought it would always be that way. Doctors thought it would always be that way. Everyone thought this was just who she was and that she could not change. But Jesus said, even with 12 years, I can make you new. Jesus is saying to us today, I can do this. I can make you new, but you got to stop resisting. You got to stop resisting. I can do this. But we are like Nicodemus. We are like Nicodemus because we don't know if we believe that it's possible. This is Nicodemus. He says, how? How? He says it over and over, two or three times. He comes back at Jesus. I don't know if y'all want to try that. Two or three times arguing. That's like my mom used to be like, you can argue once. But you better stop after the second time. She got a little tough and southern on me. I got scared, right? Jesus, I imagine, will leave a little tougher. You can argue back a couple times, but I don't know how many times you want to push back on the Lord, but Nicodemus keeps pushing. He keeps saying, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. How, Jesus? How can it happen? How? We are the same way. For decades in church, people telling you, you can be made new. These things that have you bound, these things, these chains that are on your spirit that you don't even want to tell people about, they don't have to be there. I'm telling you, I know someone who can break them. We tell you these stories and you want to believe it, but what we keep doing is we keep saying, how? How? How can this be? How can I change? How can I change? Well, I'm glad you asked. How, we ask with Nicodemus, how do we change? The first thing we learn from Nicodemus' story today, from this conversation on change that we get to eavesdrop on, the first thing we learn about how to change, first thing is you got to stop hiding it. Somebody say, stop hiding it. Stop hiding it. Nicodemus was put together on the outside. He was a leader. He had a title and a position. And it shows us in the text that he comes to Jesus at night because he is not willing to be seen in need of change. You know, ever since the garden, when the serpent told Adam and Eve that they had something to be ashamed of, that they were naked and they needed to cover up, ever since that moment, shame has been part of the human experience. But that is not God's logic. That is the enemy's logic. But because of that, we still believe that when we are in need of change, the broken places inside of us still needing divine attention, that it's something that we need to cover up, that we need to be ashamed of. And so Nicodemus, he comes to Jesus not in the open of day. He comes to Jesus at night. Somebody say at night. At night, because he's afraid to admit that he too needs what Jesus has. This is what we do. This is what we do. We're ashamed of the things that are still not right about our lives, the chains that still have part of the jagged edges still hanging in our spirit. We get ashamed because we think everybody else is all put together. We cover up what we need. We hide it. It's like in your house. You have a closet, right, that you put everything into when people come over. Don't lie. Closet. I know y'all have that closet. You have this closet, and when people come over, you take the mess. Woo! You take the mess, and you shove it in the closet. Right? You shove it in the closet so that no one, what? Sees it. But then, pretty soon, you shove it in the closet for so long, you leave it there even when there are no guests in the house. You leave it there because you kind of like it looking like you don't have any mess. But you know the mess is in there. But you just leave it there, and you leave it there when no one is around, when it's just you. But you leave it there so long that you get used to it being over there, and pretty soon you start acting like there's no mess at all. And it's fine because on the surface, things look good. You have the title and the position, but there's a mess in there in that closet. And you can't find your favorite shirt. Why? Because that's at the bottom of that mess in the closet. And you can't find the top to your blender. Why? Because it's stuck at the back of that mess. And everybody knows, don't use a blender without the top. Amen? You don't get anything else. Remember that. Do not. I've tried it. It's bad. You can't find the top to your blender. You can't find your favorite shirt because it's at the bottom of the mess that you have put in your closet in order to hide it from other people so long that you're now hiding it from yourself and you never pull out the mess to actually work on it and to actually clean it up and to actually deal with it because you're hiding it. Some of us can't find our joy because it's at the bottom of a mess that we have shoved in our closet. Some of us can't find our freedom. Some of us cannot find the power with which we are designed to operate because our power is hidden in the mess that we have pushed to the side, and we're too afraid to bring it out of hiding so that God can heal it. There's power in coming out of hiding. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them there's power. There's power in coming out of hiding. There's power in coming out of hiding. When we bring the things out of hiding, God can heal them. This is what we learned from Nicodemus today. You can't hide it. You got to stop hiding it. The second thing we learn about how to change. Somebody say how to change. The second thing we learn is you have to stop hating it. Say that with me. Stop hating it. Woo, Nicodemus hates this need for change. He hates what's going on with him. He thinks it's ugly. He thinks the parts of him that need change need to be hidden, that he can only come at night to talk to the one who can make him new. See, this is what we do. When we get to these places where there are things in us that still need to be changed, we feel like we are the only one. We feel like our rough edges are the roughest, and that our places that are still tender to the touch, and the places that maybe are still bleeding a little bit, that they're bleeding more than everybody else's. We feel like the places that still need God's divine attention are worse than everybody else's. And so what do? We hate them. We hate them. We wish they weren't there. We hide them like Nicodemus. But Jesus says something powerful today that can set some of us free. I want you to hear this. Jesus says something powerful today that can set some of us free. He says, anyone who enters the kingdom, anyone who wants to do this kingdom life, anyone, everybody who tries, no one is exempt. Anyone has to change. Everybody who tries to do this kingdom thing has something that they need for God to change. None of us is exempt. God is working on all of us. We are all a work in progress. Let me tell you, you are not the only one. You are not the only one. If you only remember the blender top and this, please remember this today. You are not the only one. The secret is that everybody has some places in them broken. This is what Jesus says today, that everyone has some things that need to be changed. Everyone has some things that God still needs to work on, even some people that we really admire a lot. We know this. Paul, from the scriptures, from Romans, he sounds like us sometimes on some of our crazy days. Remember the verse where he says, I don't do what I want to do. No, I do the very thing that I hate. What I hate is what I do, and what I want to do, I can't do it. I don't understand myself. Paul needs to change. Moses was a person with insecurities and imperfections, but we admire him, a great liberator. God was able to use him in a mighty way. See, this is what we learn, that all of us have some rough edges. Stephen Furtick, a pastor in North Carolina, he says that dysfunction does not disqualify you from being used by God. Dysfunction does not disqualify you from being used by God. So there is no need to hate what God still needs to change. There is no need to hate what God is still working on. When you hate it, you can't work on it in the way that God wants you to. I need you to think with me for a second about a boxer. If you hate what you're trying to fight, you don't fight that well. Right? Every great boxer knows that you can't fight angry. No. You got to fight cool and calm and collected. You can't fight angry. If you fight angry, what you'll do is you'll lose control. What you hate has power over you. And so if you're trying to fight angry and throw your punches out of anger and out of hatred of the thing that you're trying to change, it will tie you to itself, and you will be captured in its power, because what you hate has power over you. We can't hate these things that God is still working on. No, God is working on them. The more we hate them, the more power they have. No, we got to fight cool and calm and collected. We got to have a strategy. We got to keep our head in the game, defense as much as offense. And we have to not listen to the voice of anger and self-reclamation and the voice of the accuser. No, we got to listen to the voice of our coach in the corner telling us every move. When we fight these things that we need to change, we got to listen to that voice and fight cool and calm. You can't hate what God is still trying to change. The last thing that we learned from Nicodemus today, and this is good for us as we are approaching 2019. Those things that are on your heart that you might still want God to work on. Those things, those places when you still need to change. You're not done yet. You don't talk about them with your best friend because you think she's all good. You don't talk about them with your buddy because you think he's good. These things that are still work, God is still working on them and you, these things. The last thing we learned from this conversation on change, that we get to overhear between Jesus and Nicodemus, that you've got to stop trying to handle it on your own. Stop trying to handle it on your own. You got to stop hiding it. You got to stop hating it. Stop trying to handle it on your own. Nicodemus says to Jesus, "How? How?" I can just hear in him some of us saying, "How? I've tried for years. How? I've been this way for years. How? I felt this way, this vague haze of unhappiness, this difficulty in this area, this thing I can't quit doing. I just, how, Jesus? I've tried so long. How? I've tried. You don't understand. When I look around, everybody's this way. And it's there. How? I don't know that it's possible. I just don't think I can do it. That sounds like fairy tale." And Jesus says, "I know you can't do it. I know you can't do it. I know the things you are trying to change, you've been trying for so long and you have just gotten used to them. Whew. But I didn't say you. I didn't say you had to do it. I didn't say it would be you. I know flesh cannot handle these things. Flesh and blood is not strong enough. I didn't say it would be you. I didn't say it would be something human. I said it would be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do it." That's what Jesus is saying. Flesh can only do so much. You can only do so much with your self-help books that you get across the street, and you'll be broke pretty soon if you keep going over there to Barnes & Noble. They don't try to offer you any sale. No, they're not like that because they want you to keep coming back. So the self-help books can only do so much. You can only do so much trying to muscle through it. There's only so much you can do, but when what you can do runs out, when what you can do can't do anymore, what you can do is not enough, here comes the Holy Spirit to come in and say, "I can do what flesh can't do." And you will look up one day and say, "It wasn't me that did it." Woo! Can anybody say that when you look back over your life today and say, "I can see some things that I don't know how they got done. It wasn't me that did it. It wasn't flesh and blood. It was the Holy Spirit." And our God knows how to change things that we don't know how to change. Our God knows how to move mountains that are too big for us. This is what Jesus is saying. Won't be flesh. Won't be you. You got to stop trying to handle it on your own. Stop trying to muscle through it. Stop trying to do it by yourself. The Holy Spirit is there. This is not a human initiative type of thing. Whew. You were at my installation. You remember that Pastor Mike said something very profound. He said that this is the 19th pastorate. This is the 19th time that Greenwood that God has led a pastor to Greenwood. And I have the honor of being fulfilling the 19th pastor of the church of this church. And that the 19 is the number of surrender. A powerful thing that the 19 is the number of surrender, that I have to surrender if I'm going to do this thing right, that I can't do it on my own. I can't muscle through it. I can't just make it work. No, I have to do it through God. God has to do it through me. I have to let it go, surrender to God. And then someone, Drew, said to me, pointed out to me that we are about to embark on 2019. Whew, the year of surrender. Now that hit me heavy. I just feel the Spirit of God saying that this is the year that you got to turn it over to me. Oh, this is the year. I feel the Spirit of God saying for some of us in here today that this is the year that you have to turn it over to me, that you can't do it. Stop trying to handle it on your own. Those things that are still broken about you, don't worry, I'm working on them, but stop trying to handle them all by yourself. You got to give it to me. Surrender to me. So I can just feel the Spirit of God saying, this could be the year. There are things I'm trying to free up in you. There are places I'm trying to heal. Old wounds that you thought would always be there. No, this is the year, God is saying. You got to surrender it to me. There are chains I'm trying to break that have been holding you back for far too long. No, this is the year, God is saying. Surrender it to me. This is the year of surrender. This is the year where you let it go. What does it look like to surrender these things to God? What does it look like to know that it has to be the Holy Spirit that will do this? It looks like waking up in the morning and saying, God, there are some things I still need you to work on in me. And God, I can't do it by myself. I can be obedient, but I need your guidance. I can do the right thing, God, but you got to tell me, and I need your strength to do it, God, and I'm giving you permission from this moment on. In fact, God, I am begging you, before my feet hit the floor, I'm begging you, God, for your Holy Spirit to come in and to work with me and to work on me. And if you work on me, God, I promise I will trust. God, I need you. That's what it looks like to surrender. And then one day you will wake up and find yourself praying a prayer that doesn't sound quite like that. Instead of saying, God, please help me to get through, you find yourself saying, God, thank you. I don't know how I did it, but I look back and I'm not where I was. I don't know what happened, but I look back and it's not the way it looked before. It might be a little bit rough. It might be a little bit messy, but I look over here and I'm not where I was a couple of seasons ago. That's what it looks like to surrender, that you don't know how God does it. You don't know how God gets it done, but you look back and you realize I'm not the same. I'm not the same. Jesus is a master of metaphor because he uses this word, spirit. The spirit, the word for spirit is pneuma. Say it with me, pneuma. Pneuma, but the word for spirit is also the word for wind. Pneuma, pneuma, spirit, wind, same word. And Jesus says the spirit is like the wind. You see its effect. You see its effect, but you don't know how it works. You hear it rustling in the leaves, but you can't see as it's going. You don't know which way it's going to go. That's how the spirit works in our lives. You can see the effect, but you won't know how. So these changes that you still need, these changes that you want to bring before God, you might be afraid to talk about. These changes that you can't see from the outside. These changes that God still needs to make in you. These changes, God will work on them through God's Spirit, and you won't know how. You won't know how it got done. But it's okay if you don't know how, because you know who. That's what Jesus is saying today. You got to surrender it to me. You got to surrender it to me. You got to surrender it to me. I got to tell you one more thing about wind and how it changes things. You know how Jesus said, the Spirit acts like the wind. Sometimes the wind changes things, can tear down a whole barn in one night in the blink of an eye. That's how some of us get changed by the Spirit, like the story that Bob told us when he preached to us so beautifully the other day. But sometimes the wind changes things slowly, over years, over seasons. Some of the most beautiful rock formations in the world were made by the wind. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen just like that. But God was surely working through that spirit to change that person. And the wind was going slowly over that rock until a beautiful formation came out. And that's how the spirit changes some of us. Sometimes it happens overnight. Sometimes it takes a little while. But what I'm here to tell you today is that Jesus' words are true, that you can be made new, that you can start over, that this life can be so different and so full of freedom and lightness and joy that the only way to describe it is I have been born again. I'm not the same as I was before. Something has changed in me. What I'm telling you today, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how Jesus is going to do it, but I know if he said it, it can take place. It might be fast. It might be slow, but Jesus is working on you. But you got to let him in. You got to let him in. I don't know what all the stores and the companies are promising you. These gimmicks of new year and new you. It gets us excited in the inside, right? Because we all sense when we see those ads, when we hear this language about, ooh, I want to be made sense. Yes, me too, I do too. There's stuff in me that needs to be made new. I don't think they can deliver on what they're promising. I don't think all the gimmicks and the things they want you to buy will make you a new you. I don't know that this year can be the year that you start all over if you buy what they're trying to sell you, but I do know that if we let this year, 2019, be the year of surrender the way it is designed to be, if we let this year be the year that we let God in and we let the Spirit of God do the things in our lives that we need to get done, if we stop hiding it, if we stop hating it, and if we stop handling it on our own, the Spirit of God can do what it's been doing for millennia. The Spirit of God can make us be born again. The Spirit of God can make our lives new. And that's what God is offering us today. That's what Jesus is offering us today. Stand to your feet if you could. Jesus tells us that he stands at the door and knocks, that he's been offering these changes, this new life, millennia, offering it to us. This is the year. This could be the year. This can be the year if you would let him in. He's standing at the door and knocking. Won't you let him come in this year? Won't you let 2019 be the year that he makes you new? Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Grab somebody's hand as we sing.